as nice.
The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our strength. Of my life.
Praise the Lord, church. Let's give the choir another round of applause. Now let's give the Lord an even louder round of applause. Because the Lord is my life and my salvation. Who shall I fear? Amen. Indeed, it's a joy and a privilege to stand before you today and to share the Word of God with you. I just can't tell you how, what a sense of happiness and a sense of humility I feel in sharing the Word of God with you. It's a blessing. And I thank you for the opportunity to share it with you each and every time that I've been so privileged and so honored to stand in this pulpit and preach God's word to you. Even going back to the first time that I came here to preach Men's Day. And got that letter from Brother Wright and say, look, we got our scripture already, and we gonna call this thing, and when the Spirit pour it out, amen. And I said, all right, Lord, what would you have me say to your people? And God showed up and showed out. And so I really appreciate you all. And I feel that it's important that I express that to you and let you know what I feel on the inside. And I love this congregation. My wife and I love you all. We love both worshiping at 8 and 10 o'clock. And we're so happy that our son is in this congregation and that he is growing up. He's had his start. Amen. And we're so excited about that. We're happy. I want to invite you to pray with me. Dear God, we thank you for all your many blessings. Thank you for the power of your Spirit. Lord, we know that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but the power of a sound mind, self-control, and of love. Lord, let the words that I speak today not be my own words, but your words spoken through me, so that someone will make a first-time profession of faith, so that someone else will rededicate their life to you, so that we may all be transformed by the power of your Spirit and your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, let all the people of God say amen. If you would, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's holy word. Understand that it's not gospel. It's not in the New Testament. It's actually in the Old Testament. But I believe that there is some good news for us. Joshua, the first chapter. Verses 1 through 9. If you're there already, say amen. If you're not there yet, say, hey, wait for me. Amen. Amen. Old Testament. Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. Listen for the word of the Lord, for these are words of promise. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord spoke to Joshua, Nun's son. He had been Moses' helper. My servant Moses is dead. Now get ready to cross over the Jordan with this entire people to the land that I'm going to give to the Israelites. I'm giving you every place where you set foot. Exactly as I promised Moses. Your territory will stretch from the desert in Lebanon as far as the great Euphrates River, including all Hittite land up to the Mediterranean Sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you during your lifetime. I will be with you in the same way I was with Moses. I won't desert you or leave you. Some of you, it may say in your Bible, I won't leave you nor forsake you. Be brave and strong, because you are the one who will help this people take possession of the land which I pledge to give to their ancestors. Be very brave and strong as you carefully obey all the instruction that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't deviate even a bit from it, either to the right or to left. Then you will have success wherever you go. Never stop speaking about this instruction scroll. Recite it day and night, so you can carefully obey everything written in it. Then you will accomplish your objectives and you will succeed. I've commanded you to be brave and strong, haven't I? Don't be alarmed or terrified, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The word of God for the people, God. Thanks be to God. Our theme this morning is moving past fear and into promise. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor. I'm moving past fear.
I'm moving past fear.
And into promise.
And into promise.
I want you to turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
I'm moving past fear.
I'm moving past fear.
And into promise.
And into promise.
Now, don't forget me. I need to hear this word, too. I was afraid. Not the kind of fear one has for a brief moment when surprised by some foe that leaps from the darkness or from around some dark corner. No, not the kind of fear that sneaks up on you. Not the kind of fear that one has when a car comes within inches of colliding with their car. In that moment, you see your life flash before you. You take a moment to collect yourself and you realize that all is well. No, it is the kind of fear that can grip us, yes, even paralyze us and encamp around us, daring us to move. The kind of fear that gets more intense over time because it doesn't sneak up on you. No, you can see it from 100 miles away. and seeing it come only increases your anxiety. The tempo of your heart rate increases. Beads of sweat form and drop from your brow. Restful nights are replaced by sleepless nights. And your dreams are overcome by your nightmare. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? You wonder if you have the tools or the ability to overcome the enormity of the crisis that's in front of you. Clarity of thought is replaced by irrational thoughts. The doubts and the questions outnumber the answers. I was afraid. Have you ever been afraid? And if we pause for a moment and put aside our perfect Christian persona and take off the mask that we use to hide our vulnerabilities and our fears and take a long look in the mirror, I mean, get real with ourselves. We can acknowledge that there's something or somebody that we are afraid of. Now, don't get me wrong. Not all fear is bad. There is healthy fear and unhealthy fear. For example, there's healthy fear. There's a healthy fear of fire. There's a healthy fear of strangers. There is a healthy fear of traffic accidents. This is all part of our survival mechanism. Can you remember your mother teaching you, don't touch that hot stove? Don't play around the fireplace. Can you remember your mother telling you, don't play in the street, especially when traffic is heavy? But, you know, you couldn't resist to play a game of football, you know, ghetto football in the street. It is rational to have a healthy fear of fire, have this healthy fear of strangers and traffic accidents. There are unhealthy kinds of fear. Unhealthy kinds of fear that keep you from achieving prosperity, limit your possibilities, and keep you from moving to the place of promise that God has for you. This is the kind of fear you might experience when God is calling you. God has said to you, it is time for you to branch out and start a new ministry. It's the kind of fear that you might experience once God has brought that special person into your life that you have been praying so long and hard for. And here you have them in your life, and it's time to move from that place of singleness to that place of holy matrimony. Yet, fear creeps in, and we call that cold feet. Perhaps you have a fear of commitment. Or it's the kind of fear that you might experience when God has told you to leave that unhappy, unstable, and unloving relationship. But you are afraid to leave because you are afraid of being alone. And you think to yourself, nobody else is going to want me. It is the kind of fear that one experiences after receiving a promotion. And now you feel overwhelmed by the enormity of the task that's before you, and you have a fear of failure. Fear is natural, and fear is part of our human condition. Look, if you have been afraid, or if you are afraid of something right now, or if you're in a state of fear, it only means that you are what? Human. It's part of our human condition. And yes, there is a healthy kind of fear, and there's an unhealthy kind of fear. But we cannot allow fear to master us. We cannot allow fear to subdue us. Yes, we must master fear. We must subdue fear. And we do that by trusting in the master of the universe, trusting that God will make a way somehow, trusting that God will never leave us nor forsake us. By holding to God's unchanging hand. In our text today, Moses, the great deliverer, the lawgiver of the children of Israel, dies. And before his death, he's commissioned his second in command, who is Joshua. Joshua has this task, this huge task that is before him. And that is to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan River and into the land flowing with milk and honey. The land that God had first promised to Abraham and then to the descendants of Isaac and Jacob and then to Moses. Wait a minute, can we pause for a moment and just think for the grief that must have been going, the community of Israel must have been experiencing at that time. Think for a moment. It was Moses who had delivered the children of Israel out of captivity and bondage, and he led them through the Red Sea. It was Moses who, when the children of Israel cried out that they were thirsty, that God instructed him to strike the rock, and then sweet water began to flow from the rock. It was Moses who talked to God on behalf of the people, and God provided manna from heaven. It was Moses who went up to the mountaintop, and the children of Israel were so afraid of God that they said, "Look, Moses, you talk to God. You just tell us what he said." It was Moses who gave them the law. It was Moses who had been their deliverer. And all of a sudden, Moses is dead. And the question that the children of Israel must have been asking themselves is the same question that we ask ourselves when a person in authority or leadership is no longer there. Perhaps they moved on. Perhaps they died. Perhaps they have retired. We ask ourselves this question. We say, what are we going to do now? Moses is gone. And there's some fear because we don't know what the next person is going to do. We know Moses' leadership ability. We know Moses. He spoke to God. He's got a special relationship with God. And in fact, we were blessed through Moses. What's going to happen to us now? Fear. And can you imagine the fear that Joshua must experience? Man, it's hard to come behind someone who has had so much success and then you're the next person. You never want to be like the next person. You want to be the guy after that guy.
Yeah.
Because the expectations are so high. And Joshua must have been thinking to himself, God, these folks acted a fool with Moses. How they gonna act with me? Joshua was afraid. How do we know he was afraid? Well, when Moses first commissions him, before Moses even dies, Moses tells him not to be afraid. He tells him to be strong. And here in the text today, after Moses dies, God repeats those words to him. He says, be strong, be of good courage. He has to over and over again tell him that everything is going to be all right. And what we learn about the nature of God here is this, is that God is a father figure for us. These are the words to a child. Have you ever seen your child afraid and then you have to step in and provide words of assurance and encouragement? And that's where Joshua is right here. He is afraid. And see, what we see in Joshua is not some like an attitude that Superman might have. It's not this classic heroic attitude. Yes, I'm Joshua and I'm going to take the world on. No. We see the humanity of Joshua here. And so Joshua is a lot like us. He's afraid. He has a natural human response. So why was he afraid? I'm sure he wondered if the people would actually follow him. I'm sure he wondered how we're going to get safely across the Jordan River. I'm sure he was wondering if moving was worth it. I'm sure he wondered what would happen once they got to the other side because there were other people in the land. I'm sure he wondered if he would fail. All these things caused him to fear. To be afraid. Yet God does not scold him. God offers words of encouragement to him. And he tells him that he's going to be with him. That's what God is like. And no matter where you may be in your life right now, whatever you're afraid of, I want you to know that God is saying, be strong, be courageous, for I am with you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. And so Moses dies, and Joshua receives a promotion. Say promotion.
Promotion.
That's our word, promotion. Joshua receives a promotion. See, Joshua was now God's chosen one, and he was promoted to help the people take possession of the land. And I've got good news for you this morning, that God has promoted you. Say, God's promoted me. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been promoted. Jesus promoted us all over 2,000 years ago from a Roman cross. You may not have been promoted up the corporate ladder of a Fortune 500 company, but thanks be to God, we've been promoted into the kingdom of heaven. And love has lifted us up. And we are heirs to the promises of God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are joint heirs with Christ. Say, I've been promoted. That's good news, but along with the promotion comes responsibility. Oh, glory. And so his purpose was to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. After years of working in the for-profit and non-profit sectors, I have observed that some people who have been promoted to positions of leadership lead from a posture of fear. Oh, Lord. You know what I'm talking about. They don't trust any of the employees that work under their authority. They're fearful that someone's always trying to sabotage them. They're fearful that somebody's always after their job. They don't believe in the abilities of the people in the workforce. And it's easy for these individuals to get drowned in the ocean of stress, and they become alienated from other employees and from their families. Wait a minute. Ooh. Why is that? It's because they're overfunctioning at work. And because they have to put in so many hours at work because they don't trust the other folks at work, and they're trying to hold on to what they have, that they don't spend time at home. They don't spend time with their husbands or with their wives or with their children, and all they're doing is alienating themselves from their family and from their co-workers. They're leading from a position of what? Fear. And there's another kind of person that leads from a position of fear. These individuals, at one point, their star was brighter than all the other stars, and so they were picked out and they were chosen because somebody saw the potential in them. And so they rose up from the ranks. But here's the issue with them. They are afraid to assume their position of leadership and actually lead because they're concerned about what the folks that they used to work with downstairs will say about them. Uh-oh. And so they're trying desperately to fit in with the group that they used to be with. And so they never fully assume the responsibility they have been given. They got the title, they're getting the paycheck, but they're underfunctioning because they're trying to fit in. Ooh. I'm going somewhere with this. Look, what am I saying? I'm saying that the shepherd can't act like the sheep. And why is that, church? It's because when the wolf comes, who's going to be there to protect the sheep? Oh, who's going to lead them beside still waters? Who's going to make them lay down in green pastures? See, the shepherd can't act like the sheep. So what am I saying on this side? I'm saying since God has promoted you, you can't act like you used to act. You've got to be the leaders that God has called you to be. Because the sheep are depending on you. Oh, God has called you to greater things. God has promoted you for a purpose. And so leaders need to lead. So God has not promoted you for your own glory. See, it's not about your bank account and what, how big a house you can buy, how many Cadillacs or Benzos you can push, and if you're really balling, Bentleys you can drive. It's not about that. For the Bible says he was promoted in order to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. Wait a minute. So when you're promoted, God has called you to bring other folks with you. Church, when God promotes you, God has called us not only to build a bigger building and to have more people, but to bring the community with us. Amen. God has called us to a greater and bigger purpose, and we can't allow fear to prevent us from acting in that place of leadership and authority that God has given us. See, God wants us to enter into that land of prosperity. The second word is prosperity. Say prosperity.
Prosperity.
Look, let's just be real. All of us want prosperity. None of us would say, oh, Lord, give me poverty. We all want prosperity. See, the people have been in the wilderness. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I'm not talking about the kind of wilderness that we think about. We're going to go out and we're going to set up camp and there's a forest and there's bears and things out there. That's not the kind of wilderness. This is more like a desert. See, it was an unproductive place. And some of us this morning, we have found ourselves in an unproductive place. We're stuck in the wilderness. And the only reason that we're able to make it from one day to the next day is because God has provided manna from heaven. We just live in by grace. And so the children of Israel, because they were in this unproductive place for 40 years, God provided manna from heaven. God provided food supernaturally. And they were just, they were getting by. But God had something better for them. Should you hear this? And I think the reason why God just provided manna from heaven is because the people would get too complacent in being in that state. And so God has something better for them, a place of prosperity for them, a place flowing with milk and honey. But here's the problem. Even though there's a place flowing with milk and honey, some of us have gotten comfortable with what we know. We know manna. We don't know nothing about milk and honey. And so here's what has happened. The Jordan River is a boundary, if you think about it. It's a border. Wait a minute. Some of us know this terminology. It's some folks that live on the other side of the tracks. There's a side of the tracks where it's prosperous. And there's a side of the tracks where it's rough. And the Israelites were living on the rough side of the tracks. But they knew the rough side of the tracks. Think about it. The whole generation had died off. The ones that knew about Egypt, remember how they used to complain? Talk about, we had better stuff in Egypt. They dead. They gone. And all the folks that are left are people that know nothing but the wilderness. Ooh, well. It's all that's left. They don't know about the glory days. Oh, I'm going somewhere. They don't know how good it used to be. You can talk all day long, but all they know is the wilderness. And so what God wants us to do, church, is to move from what we know and across through our own Jordan River. Hold on. And to get to where God wants us to go, we need to move from what we know to where God wants us to go. But you got to trust God to get there.
Yes.
We can get comfortable in those places. It's fear. You get afraid of what they don't know. And somebody right now, you're struggling financially. God has spoken and told you where to go. But you're afraid. Because you're afraid to leave what you know and go where God has told you to go. Perhaps God has told you you need to go work for another company. And perhaps God has even made opportunities for you to leave where you're at. And some of us, we stayed too long where we were at, and we had opportunities to get out. But fear kept us where we were at. Perhaps God has told you to cut folks off that treat you like your ATM machine with an unlimited balance. Now, some folks got some people in their lives like that. Every time you look around, they're trying to figure out and plot and scheme how they can get in your pocket. And you're afraid to cut them off because you're afraid what Junebug and Pookie is going to go back and tell everybody else. And God has told you, just like God told Joshua, he says, go and take possession of the land. God has told you very clearly, go and take possession of your financial freedom.
Yeah.
And the only thing between you and it, fear. Somebody right now might be struggling. You're struggling with pain in your body. You prayed about it. God has told you that you need to have that surgery that the doctor has recommended. Maybe God has told you you need to cut back on some of the food that you eat. Maybe God has told you you need to exercise a little bit. But you're afraid. God has told you to take possession of your healing. But you've allowed fear to get in the way. You see how fear gets in between us and the place where God wants us to go, our place of promise. Last word is promise, sir. Say promise.
Promise.
Now, see, God initially promised three things. God promised that he would make Israel a great nation. He promised that to Abraham first. He said that you'll be so numerous. You'll be like the stars in the sky. You'll be like the sand on the beach. People won't be able to count you. You'll be a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. Second thing God promised them was land. So they're about to enter into the promised land. The third thing that he promised them, he said this: I'm blessing you to be a blessing. But see, the thing that gets between us and our place of promise, see, I don't know what your place of promise is. For different folks, it's different things. But the thing that can get between you and your place of promise is what? Is fear. Fear. Now, I want you to understand how this works itself out. So, if we are operating from a place of fear, for example, if the church is afraid to reach outside the walls because we don't really know those folks and we don't know what they might do to us, then the church is unable to do its mission, and that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. The enemy wants you to focus inwardly rather than outwardly, because if you focus outwardly, when you concentrate on God and forget about yourself and focus on God's mission, then the church will grow. But see, fear will get in the way of that. And as a result, see, God bless you tremendously with gifts, talents, graces, and abilities. I mean, you are a competent, strong, beautiful people. But see, when fear gets in the way, it prevents you from being a blessing to somebody else. But here's something for you to remember. When you feel fearful, when your heart rate begins to increase, when the sweat begins to form and drop from your brow, remember the promise of God. God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I heard somebody say, I'm standing on the promises of God. Whenever you find yourself fearful and afraid, stand on the promise of God. Whenever you're like a child in the dark, remember that the Lord is your light and your salvation. There's no reason to be afraid of the dark. Oh, remember like David that if the Lord is with you, oh, that he, even if the enemy encamps around you, it's going to be all right. Be confident in the Lord, knowing that God, stand on the what? Promises of God. See, God is not a man. God won't lie to you. Stand on what? The promises of God. Yeah, when folks begin to tell you that you shouldn't do this or do that, when they try to make you scared, do what? Stand on the promises of God. I was afraid. I was afraid. But I'm not afraid anymore. Some of you might be wondering what I was afraid of. It doesn't matter anymore. Because I've left fear on the other side of Jordan, and I've crossed over into my place of promise. Has anybody else left fear on the other side of Jordan, and you're resting in your land of milk and honey? If you ain't afraid, you ought to stand to your feet and say, I'm not afraid. I'm standing on the promises of God. I won't be afraid. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm not going to give up. I ain't never scared. If you ain't never scared, you ought to say, yeah. 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 Hallelujah. I ain't never scared. I'm not going to let a devil in hell make me scared. You can't make me scared because God is on my side. Amen. I ain't never scared. Hallelujah. As long as I got Jesus, I ain't never scared. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing. I can't be moved. Because I'm standing on my place of promise. I'm going to stand. I'm not going to be afraid. Stand. Although you may be sick in your body, stand. Although you may have bills due, stand. Although they hate on you, stand. Hallelujah. Amen. I was afraid. But I'm not afraid anymore. What I was afraid of doesn't matter because I left it on the other side of Jordan. And I have crossed over into my place of promise. Hallelujah. I'm sure there may have been somebody this morning. You were standing in the wilderness before you came to service. But you made a decision that you're going to cross the River Jordan and enter to your place of promise. I just want to celebrate with you right now. If you crossed over into your place of promise, why don't you give the Lord some hand praise? Hallelujah. Thank you.